The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once-a-week, only-on-Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is 17 Best Habits of Highly Successful Real Estate Investors. Hey, but before we get started, I'd like to touch base with you guys and see how you're doing. You know, I am totally stoked about this Old Dog Nation REI World Summit, okay? I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty stoked about it. And you're probably wondering, what is it? Well, basically, we're talking about a Zoom call, okay? Maybe a one-hour Zoom call. But hey, we've never really done that. Just kind of join the Old Dog Nation together here and just touch base, answer questions, just kind of network, that kind of thing. So I'm looking forward to it. It is going to be coming up soon here on Wednesday, November 18th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And if you're interested in connecting with us, just go to the show notes for today's show, okay, 466 show notes. You can click on a link there that'll sign you up for the, well, actually, it'll get you on the list so that when we send out the Zoom link, you can connect that way. So, hey, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. What the heck? I'm probably going to make a total fool of myself, but hey, it's okay because, you know, I'm an old dog. You know, I got an excuse. Okay. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get started with our topic today. I know I usually have a tip of the day, but the tip is, hey, sign up for the Zoom call. Okay. Today's topic, 17 best habits of highly successful real estate investors. And, you know, we're like over 450, 460 podcasts so far. We've talked to a lot of experienced, highly, highly successful real estate investors. And during that time, a lot of things were shared about what made these folks so successful and how did they do so well in real estate. And so I'm going to be sharing a lot of that today here, at least 17 of the most, I'd say the most likely habits. It's called the 17 best habits, but the top 17 best habits of those highly successful real estate investors. So hopefully you'll be able to pick some stuff up. Last week we talked about, you know, some of the strategies that are there. It might be the best things to choose from to sort of build your real estate business. Well, this time I'm going to be talking about what are some of the skill sets you need to have in order to be a successful real estate investor. So, you know, there's just certain attributes and habits successful real estate investors share that are sort of an integral part of their success. And in the interviews that I've had over the time that I've been doing this show, some things really stand out. And I'm going to be sharing 17 of those with you here. And I even have like a free infographics that you can download if you want to sort of print it out and post it, and as a little reminder and encouragement for you, so that you can kind of start to develop some of these habits. You know, as I've looked at, you know, various properties in many different states, I really get excited about buildings that are made of brick. They're just, to me, they just seem to be a more solid building. You know, something made out of a brick is usually, you know, has a strong foundation, and just a strong building withstands all kinds of, you know, hurricanes and tornadoes and all kinds of things like that. And that foundation, though, is solid. The foundation has to be solid and well developed for the bricks to align properly. Now, with a wood frame building, they can be strong too, but you don't know if they're underlying problems under that wood frame building. You have the possibility of termites, wood rot, and other issues that could seriously impact the fundamental structure of that building. In the same way, with real estate investing as a whole, there are certain foundational principles that, when properly applied early on and throughout your investing activities, will significantly impact the success of your business. Now, these 17 attributes or habits that I've outlined today, expressed by some of these folks that I've interviewed over the years, a number of these things I've discussed in previous episodes. So in the interest of time, even though I will be zipping through this list, I would just encourage you to come to the show notes and review them and download the infographics, or even, you know, copy the notes down, whatever you want to do. But I think these are going to be the types of things that'll help you in your quest to build a real estate empire here. So first one is one I mention often, and that is to know your why. And I've talked about this. The why is really, really important. It's the thing that you turn toward when you have tough times, when you're discouraged. Maybe you bought a terrible property and you're having to deal with that, and you're discouraged. You feel like walking away. Well, you look at your why, and that's what keeps you motivated and keeps you going. It is persistent people that do well, and by having a strong why, you can get through those things. And I've mentioned in the past, what does that mean? It's not just, oh, I'm doing real estate just to make extra money, or you know, just I'm bored or whatever. It's usually a little bit deeper. And for me, I shared with you, it's the faces of some of those kids in Haiti that I've that have just taken my heart away. And I want to be able to continue to do work for them in Haiti and for their lifetimes out there. And but then it's also my own kids, of course. And I see I've got unmarried daughters, and I want them to have the wedding of their dreams. My grandkids as well, be able to help the kids with their first home. And there's things like travel, and you want to have security and other aspects that building a strong real estate portfolio will bring about for you. But that's a big one, the why. A second one, it's important to think of your real estate investing. I don't care if you just have one duplex or one single family home. You need to treat it like a business, because it really is a business. And there are profit, aspects, and there are loss aspects. There's expenses and income, and it's got everything that a business has. And the more you look at it like a business and treat it like a business, the more successful you're going to be. And it's real, real important to be serious about it as a business. And number three, have a plan. Now, around this month is when I start bugging you guys about putting together your next plan, your 2021 plan. And it doesn't have to be a 500-page document, but it does state your how and your why in there, and your goals, your mission, vision, strategy, and so forth. So that's a real important document. It's sort of a living document, and I'll have links in here to how you can set up your goals and how you can get your plan together. But it's very important for anybody that's serious, again, about real estate investing. Stay focused, really key. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the shiny object syndrome. Should I flip? Should I wholesale? Oh, wow, it looks like they're making a lot of money, you know, doing raw land flipping or whatever. And I talked about all those things last week. And yeah, I mean, you just have to zero in on something, get good at it. And as you master it, then you can start maybe doing other things and moving into new niches. But you need to master the niches that you go into. And again, I'll have some links here on things that can help you to do that. Number five, always keep learning. Really, really important. Read books, listen to podcasts, watch YouTube, you know, go to seminars and webinars, talk with experts, go to boot camps, things of that work, network with other people. Those are all ways so we can continue learning. And I mentioned this too, also find a mentor. You know, it doesn't have to be a guru you're going to pay, you know, $40,000 to work with them. Although I don't say that those are bad things. There's some that you have to be very careful of, but there are some that, you know, they'll stand by their promises and they'll help you through that first deal. So, I mean, it can be a mentor that you invest in, and maybe you don't have to pay that much. There are some that are less expensive and so forth, but finding somebody that can help you, at least someone you can ask questions from and to be able to work with those people to run things by so you make less mistakes. It's really, really important. Number seven, strive to be a great communicator. Referrals generate a sizable portion of your real estate investor business, so it's critical that you communicate well with and treat others with respect. This includes business partners, associates, clients, renters, and anyone with whom you have a business relationship. Effective real estate investors are good communicators who value and practice good customer service by paying attention to detail, listening well, and responding to complaints and concerns, and represent their business in a positive and professional manner. You know, focus on, you know, being a good communicator with sellers, with your investors, with lenders, with your team. Evaluate your communication skills and abilities. Really look at, you know, what are my strengths here? You know, if you aren't real strong at that, maybe there's somebody else that's part of your team that can help you with that aspect of it. But always strive to be a good communicator. And you know, with good communication, you have happy people that you're dealing with, whether they're partners or investors or tenants and so forth. Number eight, build a strong team. It's really, really important. Getting yourself a good attorney. Now, those that invest out of state, you have to get an attorney, not only maybe locally that you're dealing with, but one that is in each state that you have properties. That's important so that you can make sure you know the local laws. But you've got CPA, property managers, mortgage brokers, lenders, brokers and agents, contractors. And I always say, surround yourself with people that are smarter than you. You know, that's a goal of mine, is just to get people I feel that I'm going to learn from, that are going to teach me things as we go along. And hopefully I have strengths and skills that I can teach them as well. So it's really, really important. And building a good team is going to last you for years and years. Number nine, delegate. Anyone that's read Tim Ferriss's book, 4-Hour Work Week, you know that this guy, he cuts the amount of time he has to really spend on his business by delegating things. And that's really key. You have to look for places where you can download tasks to people that can do it. Hopefully people that can do it better than you. Direct your time and effort in the areas that you're best at, and then you delegate the rest. Even if you can't afford it, there are ways to delegate without costing a lot. You can actually hire people to do things. I go to Fiverr a lot, and we do mainly for graphics and things like that. But I've hired writers and researchers and web designers and so forth. Now Fiverr, it's called Fiverr because it's only $5 for each service. Now, granted, they have a lot of others that run more, but that was how it got its start. It was, you could hire somebody for $5 to do something, and it helps to take some of that work away from you. At some point, you know, depending on your goals, you might want to hire, you know, a part-time assistant that can help with, taking care of a lot of the paperwork. Because the more properties you have, the more paperwork you have, the more things you have to stay on top of that you have to pay on a regular basis, whether it's property tax payments or insurance or what have you. Number 10, network regularly and well. You know, real estate has always been and will always be about relationships. Always make a point to meet new people and strengthen the relationships of your old friends. Don't forget the folks that you made contact with that maybe you haven't spoken to in a couple of months or maybe a year or so. Stay in contact with people and regularly send people notes. I love getting handwritten notes. I never get them anymore, you know, but when I do get them, I'm blown away. That was one thing that impressed me with Rod Cleef when I first met him. You know, he sent a little thank you note to me, handwritten, and I asked, "This is wild. I never see that kind of stuff anymore." And that's the kind of stuff that sticks. So, you know, keeping in contact, really valuing the people that you know in your network, you know, it's really key. Number 11, always be on the hunt for great deals. If you're a real estate investor, you're always looking for good deals. And so you've got to have things built into your daily, weekly, monthly activities where you are looking for those deals. You could be doing direct mail. You could be scheduling calls. Maybe, you know, 5 times a week, you're going to be talking to your key broker contacts. You're going to, if you invest locally, you're going to be driving for dollars, you know, and meeting with local contacts. You can do online research through places like LoopNet.com or Realtor.com. Look for reports that are put out by, you know, some of the major brokerage firms out there. You know, regularly send emails out to people that you need to stay in contact with. So it's just real, real important that we, you know, are stirring and you're creating a funnel of potential projects that you're looking at all the time. And if you get too much, I'd say it's not a bad problem. You know, maybe you can get some interns working with you that you can teach them how to analyze projects at the same time they can help you kind of screen down and find the ones that are really the hot deals. And when you do find a deal, you know, make sure you're analyzing on a regular basis and you're following up, especially if a broker sends you a deal. You don't just take it or just, you know, read the email, but say, "Hey, thanks for sending me this deal. Yeah, it doesn't fit our criteria, but you know, I'm still interested, and I would love to, you know, keep receiving these from you." Number 12, become an expert in your market and markets. If you're investing in other areas that you don't live in, or if it's the area you live in, you want to know it better than anybody does. You know every target city. Know the neighborhoods. Where are the good and the bad parts of towns? What areas are in transition? What areas are not? You know, maybe they're not. They used to be good, but now they're not so good anymore. Or maybe they're up and coming, and they might be one of the best parts of towns. You know, you talk to planning boards, and you speak to chambers of commerce and local politicians to find out where they're investing in the community. Where are the good schools? Where are the big employers? What businesses may be coming to town? Maybe it's not next year, maybe 5 years down the road. And how many jobs may they be bringing? You know, these are the kinds of things you can find out, again, by getting plugged in and making local contacts that know what's happening in your area. I think brokers and agents are great for this kind of stuff. They're staying on it all the time. Number 13, know your numbers. There are a lot of numbers you need to know for your market. You need to know unemployment numbers, population growth, average income, vacancies, typical expenses, cost per unit, cost per square foot, on properties, its ratios, ROI, cap rates, cash on cash, cash flow. So there's a lot of numbers you need to stay on top of as well that are really key to being successful. Number 14, understand the risks. Now, granted, you know, that this is a great industry to be in, and there is just a phenomenal return. It's solid. It's based on tangible assets. There's a lot of great things about it. But remember, you know, there are risks involved too. You can buy a bad property that could just, boom, it hits you really hard. If you're buying stocks or futures or something along those lines, you know, they're the risk, I would say, you know, are definitely higher. But numerous agencies, such as the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, require disclaimers to warn potential market participants about the possibility of loss of capital. But much of this is legalese. It has to be, you know, made clear to people that investing in stocks or futures along those lines, you know, you can lose a lot of money. New real estate investors, however, are more likely to be saturated with advertisements claiming just the opposite. Oh, this is a great, you know, you've got the Ferraris in the driveway and the bikini clad girls sitting on the Ferraris, and they're just talking about how it's all just, you know, wonderful stuff. And the reality is you know, it's a lot of hard work, and you need to, you know, put your nose to the grindstone and be very diligent and very prudent. And I can consider myself a very conservative investor too. I really have to weigh and reweigh every aspect of a property I'm looking at or an area I'm looking at going into. And number 15, develop systems. Document everything you do as if you were creating a franchise. And I've said this to, you know, many people, is that everything you're doing, from what your process is to screen tenants to how do you rehab and how do you select contractors, and all of these things, if you put them in a little notebook that you're following, and hopefully you'll look at it too and also find out where you break down. Why did I mess up? Why did I hire this contractor that totally left me with this, you know, unfinished job? And whatever the problem may be, you can look back at your system. Okay, what did I do in my screening process that maybe I need to correct? And things like that. It becomes like a policy manual. In it, you'll spell out, you know, your policies and procedures regarding, you know, things like tenant screening, evictions, property evaluations and purchases, criteria, marketing. Your checklist for, you know, screening a property, for example. Look for more efficient ways to do regular tasks and look for ways to save money. You can look at your expenses and see areas where you can cut, and you start to see, wow, you know, this should be something I should have done, you know, when I first purchase this building, as opposed to discovering it, you know, 2 years down the road where you've paid way overpaid for certain services or utilities or whatever it may be. So you're always going to be looking for ways to delegate. You're always going to be looking to review, refine, move smarter, and repeat. You kind of just go through, and you're making that plan that much more effective. And also, as you develop this system or this operations or policy manual, it'll be something you can give to people that you hire too. As you, in it, there'll be job descriptions in various areas, from financial to contracting and construction. So it's an important thing to do. Number 16, have a positive outlook. No one wants to be around somebody who always grumbles and complains, blames or shames, right? You will have challenges, and you'll have great days and you'll have horrible days. And that is just kind of part of life. It's not just real estate. It's just life. And you will make some little mistakes, and you will likely make some huge mistakes. Regardless, you know, do not go down that sort of negative rabbit hole that leads nowhere and only results in discouragement and a horrible disposition and hopelessness. Face and embrace each challenge as an opportunity to learn and an opportunity to become better at what you do. Every time you have a mistake, I mentioned this as I asked my guests on the show, you know, what's your biggest mistake? And those are the things that we really learn the most from, and it helps make us better at what we do. So, you know, keep your eyes fixed on the prize. You know, that's key here. Look at your end goal, not the steps and the slip-ups along the way. I mean, yeah, you remember those mistakes and learn from them. But you will reach a goal if you are persistent, dedicated, and don't get caught up in sort of the slime along the way, right? The final one here, maintain high ethical standards. This one's really key to me. You know, realtors are bound to act according to a specific code of ethics, for example, and standards and practice policy. And real estate agents are held to each state's real estate commission rules and standards. Well, real estate investors, however, you know, unless they're associated maybe with a membership organization or some other type of rating system there, they don't necessarily have to maintain a particular degree of ethics in their business practices. But, you know, you have to act within the boundaries of the law. Well, I think you need to go a little step beyond that. This is a business built on trust. And unless people can trust you, you're not going to get very far in this business. Even though it would be easy to take advantage of a situation, you know, most successful real estate investors that I've spoken to are the people that, because they have integrity, because they are solid in what their mission and vision are, these are people that are going to be in business for a long time because they have the right attitude. Those who remain in business for the long haul usually maintain very high ethical standards. Since real estate investing involves actively working with people, an investor's reputation is likely to be far-reaching. In the case of an investor lacking in ethics, the consequences can be very damaging. Effective real estate investors know it's better to conduct fair business rather than seeing what they can get away with. I mean, all you have to do is just, boom, you get a label like slumlord label thrown at you, or you get something like, man, here's a guy that, you know, that treats his tenants terribly, or here's somebody who, treats his employees horribly. And those are things that are really hard to change. And you don't want to ever have that kind of a label thrown on you. This is key to me. Being dishonest, disreputable, anything but completely transparent is not an option for me. Because to me, yes, I'm accountable to the people I work with, my family first, I'm accountable to my wife, my kids, the employees, the people I buy from, the people I sell to, the people I borrow from, the people I landlord, and ultimately, though, I am accountable to my God. And if I let down any of those people, or I'm dishonest in any way, it's He that's looking at me, and that's who I have to account to at the end of the line here. So always, always, always be above reproach. Communicate everything clearly and accurately. Disclose everything regularly and be transparent. I find so often tenants do not respond well to poor communication. When they leave messages, when they're reporting some sort of a service item that needs attention, when they don't hear back from the landlord, the property manager, it just goes a long ways to make those people think twice about renewing their lease. And that's something you don't want people to have to deal with. Tenants just get really upset because somebody doesn't tell them they're coming in there to spray, for cockroaches or whatever it may be. And that lack of communication just really rubs people the wrong way. So communicate too as well. That's part of your reputation. Well, that is it. That's all 17. We'll probably make a list a lot longer than that, but I think these are some of the key areas that you should take a look at. And each of these items should seriously help you for the long and the short term to become a successful real estate investor. As I mentioned, there's an infographics, this little thing that you can print out, and you could probably stick it on your desk or your table. And it's got all these 17 items on it that you can keep as a reminder of, where you need to have your head focused as you move forward to become a successful real estate investor. Well, that is it for today. Remember, everything presented here today, and I've got a lot of links. I got a lot of stuff on our show notes, not only everything I talked about, but there's links in each one of those categories too, to either an article or a podcast that'll go into more depth on that area. So I think that you should definitely check it out. Get that infographics download, and also go there for the link to sign up for the Zoom, the summit coming up here. So a lot of good stuff in the show notes today. So just look for the episode entitled 17 Best Habits of Highly Successful Real Estate Investors. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king, and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.